A few months ago, you released Likaya Revisited. Was there a feeling of a kind of unfinished project?
I think more that we had some extra material coming in that we wanted to release, like some live tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And we also wanted to, we were not quite satisfied with mastering, so we wanted to do another version, you know, another mastering of the album. So that was the reason, you know.
Okay.
For it.
So the definitive version of the album, with your satisfaction concerning sound production, everything, is the second one.
Yeah, but I mean it's a very small difference.
Yeah, but in the same time, it wasn't a bit weird to kind of re-dive in the Likaya period, and at that time you were fully in the Lotus adventure.
Yeah, exactly. We were writing Lotus at the time when we did Revisited. So I mean, in many ways, like Revisited was sort of amid, you know, a small release on the side. You know, like.
Okay.
But you know, the big goal was of course Lotus.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All the time.
Okay. If we come back to this whole Likaya period, from really the writing, the recording, the tour after that, in your mind, is there an event or a souvenir that would kind of synthesize this whole chapter?
Some event that would
that in your mind would kind of sum up the whole Likaya period.
I can't think of like one single event that would sum up the Likaya period. Actually, I don't know.
There was no high point, a high peak, one show or what?
Oh, you mean like that?
Hmm.
I don't know, but you know, there's so many nice moments. But for me, I had a very beautiful moment in Paris.
Good. Good.
When we played Lucidity and. The whole crowd were singing along to the last parts of the song, you know, the outro. That was magical. That's fantastic. That was one of the experiences I would bring with me for a long, long time.
All right.
For example.
Just before talking about the Lotus period, first you had some lineup change with. Marcus leaving the band and Cody integrating the band. One way or the other, did you think that it changed a little the chemistry of the band?
Yeah, I mean, of course. Like, there's always, you know, it gets affected a bit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Some differences at the same time, you know, like. It has always been like Martin and I, you know, from the beginning.
Yes.
That has formed the band, so and so. We are sort of the core, you know, that
mm-hmm.
the core that constitutes the so and sound. So if you switch guitarists, then you know, that will not affect the sound as a whole. But of course, it's like they are different, you know. In they have different styles, you know, where Marcus perhaps is more bluesy as a guitarist, you know, and Cody might be a bit more classic progressive, maybe, in style.
Okay.
Playing.
I was thinking maybe, you know, of a, if it exists, a kind of a North American approach compared to a fully European approach of guitar or
maybe.
Music in general?
It's a North American approach. That's so hard to define, maybe. You know?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, the thing that we fell for was more. He had the technical abilities and he had beautiful tone in his guitar playing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that was like a perfect fit with our music. Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
He could
understand.
And I think he. can, you know, judge from the solos that he makes on the album that, well, it's a perfect fit with the sound we have. So that's great.
Okay.
He's great on stage as well, so really happy with that.
I have the idea, it might be a cliche, that when a band, or especially you two guys, as you mentioned, the core of the band, decided to work on a new album, you kind of meet each other and kind of chat and find a guiding line, a main idea for this for a new record. Does it work like that? And if it's the case, what was the idea when you started to work on Lotus?
Absolutely, yeah, that's how it works. So we get together and discuss, usually Martin has, some ideas, maybe some riffs that he has written, and then we build something from that, with melodies and harmonies. So yeah, that's a very typical way of approaching songwriting for us. Yeah.
Okay, and it works like that from the start? From the beginning of the band?
Yes, I would say more or less that has been the case, even since the start.
Okay.
It has always been a way for us to work, yeah.
Okay, good. Do you remember which track did you finish first for On Lotus? Rival, okay. And with your experience, do you think that the first song that is written for an album, one way or the other, will color the whole album or all the other tracks?
Nah, I don't think. Not necessarily. No, I think it evolves because we write so. It's over such a long period, It's
mm-hmm.
It's almost like it's 2 years from like when the writing starts until the album is produced, and 1 year is just songwriting. So it evolves a lot during that process. I think.
Okay.
I don't think it's more. We don't think in those terms. I think that we are quite confident about. Or, that it will be a so-and-so, and the sound of the song. So we can almost do whatever we want, and it will still turn into a so-and-so, with a so-and-so.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we don't sit down and think, like, okay, this song will constitute, like how this album will sound, not like that.
Okay. You seem to, if we see from the beginning of the band, you release a new album each 2-3 years. Is that your natural creative rhythm? Is that your natural pace for the band?
I think so, but I think it's like the way we work now, like two album with 2 years in between. That's quite hectic. Like we are high performing at the moment. working very, very much. But at the same time, I think we feel that there's like a momentum coming on for us, in our songwriting. In everything we do, so maybe it's better to produce material as long as you have that,
mm-hmm.
Keep the flame burning as long as we're evolving and making better and better songs and better music.
But
maybe if it starts, if we would feel in the future that we would come to a standstill.
Mm.
Creatively, then of course we wouldn't have a problem stopping, for a while.
No, like, no, but I mean, for each new album, for example, Lotus, is all the music, everything brand new, or you kept some bits and pieces, for example, from previous albums, but you could not fit or didn't, was not the good, I don't know, feeling or.
No, we always say that, you know, because there's always some leftovers on a, from an album process, you know, some songs that didn't cut it, you know, didn't make it. So then we always say that we're gonna leave them for the next album. But that kind of never happens, because once you're writing for the new album, you're sort of in a new time and a new zone. So then those old songs, you know, they're not modern anymore, if you like it, you know. So
they won't fit anymore.
They don't fit anymore, you know. They were a sign of their time, you know.
And yes.
And then you start writing again, and then usually all the songs come during that particular era, you know.
Okay. How many songs did you write for Lotus? In case the question is, how many songs did you write in Lotus compared to what you released on Lotus? Is there like twice many songs, or you only work and finalize the one we can find on the album, or?
Nah, I would say maybe, you know, there's like four more songs that are not on the album.
Okay, that as you mentioned, you will discard forever, or you might use them for a revisited version.
Exactly. I mean, they will come into a bonus album or you know, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like B-sides or something. But I don't think that we will take those songs into consideration when we write the next album.
Okay.
But yeah, definitely. You know, putting them into like B-sides or extend an album again, like you make a bonus extra album. That could. Yeah.
Because for these four songs, you went until the end, they are fully finalized and I would say ready to release, or you stopped before?
Like at least three songs are like, you know, fully made.
Okay. And so you had a tough choice at the end of the studio to decide which songs will go on the album, or it was clear from the beginning the one you wanted?
No, that's always difficult. That's always hard to, you know, pick between your children and
yes.
And exclude some. Yeah, that's pain aching.
And also a question you might find a bit weird, but how do you decide of the track list? Is that the label, or do you do that yourself? And what's the strategy you have to implement to decide of the track list of the record?
First of all, it's us, you know.
Good.
The label is, mm-hmm. Yeah, because, you know, we have been playing for so long, and we're so.
Yeah, you know what you want.
Yeah. There wouldn't be a label that could come in and tell us what to do or what to. But, so we decide, and then, you know, we try to have it like a democratic process, you know, talk amongst, you know, have a discussion within the band.
Mm hmm.
Around the songs, and you know, a little bit like that, and try to have a little bit of a debate within the band. But it's always hard, you know, because you never know. It's like,
and it's a tough debate, or it's everybody agrees pretty quickly.
No, it takes a while usually.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, some, but it's something that grows. You know, the decision comes during the process of the album, like. And usually when you're done, you have usually taken that decision.
Okay.
But it can definitely take time. You know, that kind of process. Yeah.
Okay. A question I'm sure you were asked multiple times today, and I apologize for that. But I cannot not think about listening to Lotus. I cannot not think of bands like Opeth. And I also have to mention the voice, your voice. I think sometimes is sounds a bit like Michael Akerfeld. How do you react to such comparison, and are you, I don't know, proud, peace, doesn't care, understand?
No, of course, and I think it's very logical, but the reason is probably, it's not very, like, you know, the reason why someone reminds you of some Opeth stuff is because our current drummer sounds a bit like Opeth's old drummer, you know?
Mm-hmm, yes.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So of course, like, yeah, that's gonna affect the sound. But that's his playing, you know, and how he is.
Yeah, he won't change how he plays.
Exactly. So of course it's gonna sound like that. No. And then, you know, my voice compared to Michael Åkerfeldt is probably similar in the way that, you know, we come from the same city, Stockholm.
Mm-hmm.
So he sounds like me.
Yeah, no, he can go both ways, you're right. Opeth sounds like your son also.
Yeah.
It goes both ways.
And he has a Swedish accent, yeah.
True.
Like, he's even from the same city and, you know, from the same times. Like, well, I mean, I guess he's a bit older than me. But still, you know, so I don't think it's intentional that, you know.
You know the guys, you don't know, is the metal scene in Stockholm a kind of a small world, or you all know each other, or?
It's quite small, but no, we actually don't. I haven't met them. I haven't.
Okay.
And we don't meet them like regularly or anything.
Okay.
But there's not, it's not any like, and there's no actual reason for that. It's not like there's any bad blood or anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like that, but, you know, it's a small world, but still,
But there might be something you can explain to me, because sometimes from France we may have the weird feeling that if you stop anybody in the streets of Stockholm, he plays like Yngwie Malmsteen, or sing like you, or drum like I don't know, a good drummer. So it's I don't know if there's such concentration of great, especially rock metal artists in Sweden, or it's by chance. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a bit ironic that you have so many musicians in Stockholm that plays metal, but you don't have anyone that listens to metal. We have, for 10 years, we have still not played in Sweden.
So it's only for export, you mean?
Yeah. And
okay.
I mean, we have sold out all our gigs in Denmark since we started.
Mm-hmm.
We sell out every time, and we have sold out in London, and we have sold out in Helsinki.
Yeah, all around Europe, but not in Sweden. And you never played in Sweden.
But we don't get invited to play in Sweden, even not for like coffee money.
Because what? There's too much offers. No one cares, or it's too difficult, or how do you explain that?
It's just very, very strange. First of all, I think that metal is like frowned upon, you know, people look down on metal.
Okay.
And don't, you know, they don't take it like they. It's very much about pop music in Sweden, like Melody Festival, what they call it, Schlager Festival, Eurovision stuff. And then I guess this, you also have this thing that, you know, you cannot be a prophet in your hometown thing. You know, like.
Yeah.
We are from Sweden, so that's why we're not going to play. No. We're not going to be invited because we're a Swedish band.
Yeah, okay. You're not exotic enough?
Yeah, something like that.
It's not too heartbreaking? You kind of get used to it?
Exactly. But it's... if it's... What did you say? Heartbreaking?
Yes.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's now I sound very bitter, but I don't actually. It's not a big thing.
Okay.
Because Sweden is a very small country, so not having a following in Sweden is not like the worst thing that can happen, you know? Because it's so much more. You can get so much more by playing. Spain, in Paris, or in London, or in
I would say better be successful in Europe and not in Sweden.
Absolutely. Nine times, 100 times out of 100.
Okay. Coming back to Lotus, so it was produced by David Castillo and Iñaki Marconi, once again in Ghost World Studios and Studio 6. So basically you kind of use the roughly the same team surrounding you than Likaya, if I'm not wrong.
But on this album we sort of like we did it all the way together with David and especially with David, because we felt you know, earlier on we have produced a lot ourselves, you know, within the band to keep control over everything, because in the end I guess we are a bit like control freaks,
yes,
perfectionists. But on this album we felt that, you know, we could let David come in and also have quite much to say already from the start in the production.
Mm-hmm.
And we recorded the whole album there, yeah, in Grandal Studio, which we before we didn't do it like all the way there, you know, with him present all the time.
Okay.
So that's the difference, for sure.
How long did you take for your vocal tracks?
For about roughly, I would say all in all a month, something like that.
And for each song, on average, just to give a nice idea, how many takes do you take?
That depends, but sort of, let's say, you know, can take like 4 to 10 takes, or something like that.
And so you try alternative vocal lines, or you try a lot, or when you record it, you know what you want, and so you focus exactly on what you decided.
Yeah, I know, and I generally try to sing as large parts as possible, you know, like the whole song if I can, you know, like that.
And in one track?
Because I wanted to, I want this kind of like thread, you know, like a thread. I wanted to
continuity and
consistent feeling.
I understand it.
Vibration in the song. Then sometimes, you know, you can edit it and copy it up, but still I want to work with as long parts as I possibly can, you know.
Yes, because when you sing, and when in studio, you know, you recut and rebuild everything, it's like a patchwork. One way or other, I think you're kind of losing some of magic.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, with the equipment today, with all the digital, you know, possibilities, it's very, very easy to go into some kind of perfectionist,
almost
obsessive state where you start to fix every little error that you can possibly find.
You know.
Where you come up with something that is totally cleansed from any soul or spirit, you know.
Yes.
You can easily kill the music. With the computer.
Yes. To complete the music, there's always the visual elements, so I would say, as usual for the band, you kind of like enigmatic cover pictures, or not very easy to read. If you remember the old ones, it's you switch from one world to the other, from one album to the other. Is there some kind of hidden messages or enigma within the cover picture? You have this pyramid, the eye. You got some symbols who look a bit like, a secret society, whatever.
We love to play with symbolism and mysticism, but it's of course more of that you should read into it yourself a little bit.
You won't give the keys each one to find the keys, or your own keys.
Because if we would give them away, then it would just be very, you know, that would take away the whole mystery. If you like, but think that there's a, as a general idea we have, is that you have to contribute yourself as a listener to, mm. to the music. So the lyrics will never be like, the lyrics will never be straightforward in a sense, you know, just telling you exactly what is, you know, how to feel or how to, you know, what, like write things on the nose of people, you know? Mm.
Yeah, you. The listener must also work a little bit, also.
Sorry. Yeah, exactly. The listener must work.
Also,
exactly. That's my point. Yeah. Yeah. And for example, like having a one word as a title means that, you know, as a listener, you would have to read something into the title of the song as well. You know.
Yes, true.
Because it's not going to be like a sentence that is just telling you exactly what the song is about and exactly how. How it's supposed to be interpreted. So, yeah, that's...
Okay. Still in the same subject about visual elements, so you released a video clip for Rival. Is there other projects in progress or in the pipes for the coming months, weeks?
Yeah, but the actual video was actually for Martyrs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the real video.
Yes.
So that Marchers is out, and then there's going to be more videos coming.
Okay. You mean real videos with a scenario and I don't know, a story, something, or?
Oh, absolutely. Or like, did you say, what it is? I mean, there's going to be more videos.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
With... but you will see.
Okay, surprise. Okay.
And I can't tell you right now which videos it is.
Okay, okay, no, but it will be the surprise.
A couple more. Yeah. I have to keep it a surprise.
Okay. The last two questions. What can we wish you for the coming weeks or months?
You can expect some more things to show up, of course, and you know the album will be released on the 1st of February. Then we have the following tour, you know, in the mid March.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to Europe a couple of weeks.
Yeah, there's a lot of shows already booked.
Yeah. So I really hope that that people will show up now. Because I think that we have done everything that we can.
Yeah, you've got the album is a very good and very exciting invitation to come to see you, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And we're going to come and be, like, charged. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You also...
have a lot of energy.
Yeah, you also, if it's not signed yet, some project for summer festivals, or...?
Not yet, no. We don't have any, like... But we'll see. You know, there's gonna be a lot more. Maybe play North America. We'll see. But we have to look into it. Maybe festivals as well. There's gonna be some more gigs in September as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. September. Good.
Yeah.
And just my last. Oh, yes.
Okay, now Roger's here.
Okay, so I stop here. Thank you very much for your answers. And
yes.
And my best wishes for the weeks to come, and hope to see you on stage.
Oh, thank you very much. Okay.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care.